You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Some women play the game, others change it. And then there's Hloni Mphahlele, who rewrote the rules, redesigned the board, and still made sure that the rest of us have a seat at the table. She's the quiet storm behind some of the boldest professionals in the boardroom, not just helping them show up, but show up with strategy, clarity, and power. With over 14 years of experience across operations, consulting, and transformation, Hloni isn't just known for getting things done. She's known for moving the needle, shaping the culture, and building people while building the business. But make no mistake, she's not here because she cracked the code alone. She's here because she coded a new way to win, one where Black brilliance is not watered down, worn out, or waiting to be chosen. She's living proof that it's possible to lead with excellence without losing yourself, that it's possible to sit at the table and still sleep at night. Tonight's conversation is for every Black woman who's ever been told to wait their turn, to dim her lights, or to just be grateful. It's for the ones tired of surviving and ready to start slaying. This is Uncoded, Black, Brilliant, and Boardroom Bound. And Hloni Mphahlele is about to take us to class. Hloni, welcome to the show. You're on mute, Hloni.
I've just muted myself. Imagine that. After that amazing welcome. Thank you so much, Mpumi.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm very, very well. I must be honest and grateful, right?
Hloni, I want to tell you something.
Tell me.
So 2 years ago, a coach of mine from America comes to South Africa to, I think she was launching a trip, her South African trip. And I'm having supper with her. And she says, oh, guess where I was today? I was at this and this place and I met Hloni. I'm like, wait, who? And she describes it, and I'm like, wait, I know Hloni. What a small world. And just telling me about how she's going to do business in corporate South Africa, how she's got clients here. And I was one of those clients. So when I found out that I'm talking to you, I was just like, yes, I finally get to have the conversation I've always wanted to have with her.
Wow. Well, yeah, that was absolutely amazing.
What are the odds, right?
Exactly. And sometimes I really wonder whether we realize what we have here in South Africa. There's so many opportunities, and I just think we're sleeping on them. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's get
I'm
into
glad to be
it.
Here.
Yes, let's get into it. We're going to be raw, Hloni. We're going to be real, and we're going to be unapologetically brilliant. I know that's not going to be hard for you to do. Okay, let's start by addressing this. We are often the first to wear our surnames on our lanyards, right? The first to walk into meetings where we're the only one to look like us. So I want to hear from you, what's the first thing you had to unlearn to stop playing small in these spaces that you now occupy?
For me, the most important thing is knowing who you are.
Ooh.
And here I'm actually bringing our Christian values.
Yeah.
Let's start there. So it's important to affirm yourself by what God says you are. So firstly, he says that you are a masterpiece. He says if you're feeling wonderfully made. And he says he's in you. It reminds you that greater is he who's in us than the one who's in the world. And I love Psalms 138 that says, he says, I will perfect everything that concerns you.
Everything.
No, it doesn't say some.
No.
It says everything. So when people speak about you wake up, you know, some speak about meditation. Mm. For me, it truly is about reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because he also says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm. Lean not in your own understanding. Mm. And in all your ways, I will direct you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the invitation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And once you've done that, you pray about it. Yeah. So that is the first thing that you do. And you also just, I think that this was what one of my mentor also told me, that you need at all times be a master of your own craft.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walk into these spaces, knowing that you are the master of your own craft,
yeah,
how do you then doubt? Because you have confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem starts when you don't have confidence of your own craft.
Yeah.
And that's where we waver.
Mm. You know, the scriptures you mentioned makes it seem like God is an all or nothing God. He says, absolutely, I will perfect all things concerning you. And then it says, and in all your ways acknowledge him. It's not in some ways or some things, it's all or nothing. And so if you're already looking at that kind of God as your frame of reference, as your foundation, there's no way you can then walk into a space and give half of yourself or half of your expertise, because
correct,
that is not the standard through which you operate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we also have to believe what the word says.
Oh.
Believe what the word says.
Yeah.
Let's just not quote it, but let us believe. There's a verse that says, the righteous, the steps of a righteous man are right. Mm. So he's given us righteousness.
Yeah.
And therefore, if we walk with that view in mind, that then whatever that I do is right because I have him.
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
Then you're okay.
Yeah. And look, I'm making it so it's all about God, like you're saying.
Mm.
It's God or nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's the scriptures that we use on a daily basis, that Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
You know, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Mm. We are called according to his purpose. And he says, fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand.
Yeah.
So why do we doubt
when
we get into these spaces?
I often use such a silly example when I talk about what you've just said right now. So there's a passage in scripture of the sons of Sceva, right? They are trying to be bosses there. And then
there.
the demons are like, hey, so they try to take out the demons, right? And the demons are like, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Nina, who are you? You know? And it's the knowledge that the demons had is what made them confident to do what they were doing.
Exactly.
And I often wonder, or maybe not even wonder, but then I realize that knowledge is what arms us with the confidence that we need.
And that's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It gives you the confidence because you do not waver. So the secret is you persistently have to master your craft.
Mm. And you can't then know all of this about God and know all of this about yourself and then get into these spaces and shrink. It doesn't tell you.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they are easy spaces.
No.
I'm not saying they're easy spaces. But I'm just saying when you master your own craft, you have the confidence, as you say, because you know that you're knowledgeable. You can be tested at any aspect.
Yeah.
You'll be able to stand them.
Yeah. That's so profound. Now, many of us were raised to be grateful for the jobs that we have. In fact, even now, in this economy, we're told just be grateful. But in all honesty, gratitude is not a strategy.
No, it's not.
So when did you stop just surviving in corporate and start owning your power in it?
It starts with a plan. Right?
Yeah.
It starts with a plan. And I love the way that it's just put. Sometimes we think these things happen by osmosis.
Yeah.
And when you started the conversation, you started about saying there are things that you have to unlearn and relearn.
Mm.
Look, when it all started, I didn't have all the opportunities, right? Mm. I think in my previous conversation, I shared how it all started, how my career all started. It was in a call center, and hard work was quite important. So that's the strategy.
Mm.
Hard work.
Yeah.
And be consistent. Mm. And when opportunities come through, you are seen and you're known for your hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And as you progress, we spoke about knowledge. We live in an era where we have a plethora of information.
So much.
Exactly. And you end up, you could easily be confused. Mm-hmm. But it's quite important to also show that you equip yourself with the right education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understanding the space that you're in.
Yeah.
I've always been in financial services, and therefore you must understand how the industry works, you know, opportunities that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to a point where I was doing consulting. Consulting is what all of us do. Right now, me and you are in a consultation.
Mm.
And it's also understanding the skills that you learn from your role.
Mm.
And I usually say that the skills that you've learned, nobody can ever take them away from you. You're going to use, for me, the skills that you've learned here, you'll use them everywhere.
Yeah.
And don't ever think that there comes a time where you then have to stop consulting. On a daily basis, you consult. And also understand that you all of us are in sales.
Whether we're aware of it or not.
Yeah, whether you know.
If we're not selling a service or a product, it's ourselves we're selling.
Exactly. So it's also, that's what I'm saying, understand the skills that you're learning and that you're equipping yourself.
Yeah.
And not only that, get the necessary qualifications as well. And review your plans. You know, you have KPIs that are happening at work.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to have your own personal KPI.
Oh, that's so powerful.
It's important.
Yeah.
Where you have a board meeting all by yourself.
Mm.
And we review and we look at where we need to improve. And consistency, consistent in being true to yourself, whatever that you commit to, difficult as it may be committed to make sure that you come through. I think we also come through for many other people, but sometimes we forget to come through for ourselves.
Oh, man. You know, I just want to highlight what you were saying now about the skills that I'm garnering here. You know what? Mm-hmm. Let me give you just a brief synopsis of my journey, right? I am a mining engineer by qualification. I worked in a technical consulting firm for a bit, and I was like, oh, this is not for me. Went to the bank. I was first a sales analyst, and then I became a product development specialist.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was at the bank, I started a coaching and consulting business, right? And I ran that for 5 years. Now, all of that then culminated into me being here. And when I got here, I'm told on Mondays it's personal finance, on Tuesdays it's tech, innovation, it's science, on Wednesdays it's small business and entrepreneurship, on Thursdays it's shapeshifter. Now, I've been having conversations like these with the people I interview since the time I started in March. And let me tell you, there isn't a conversation where I can't lend my knowledge and my expertise to, because when we start talking finance, I was a bank girly.
Yes.
When we start talking business, I've been burnt, but I've also got some amazing stories there. When we start talking science and tech, I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. So in the moment, it feels like, oh no, this is draining me. I don't want to be here. And that's valid, right? Whenever you feel like a place is not for you, you've got every right to then find that place. But one thing we cannot afford to undermine or underestimate are the skills and the knowledge you are getting from that place, however horrible it is, however misaligned you feel you are to that space.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, as you're saying, you are using these. And no one can ever take them away.
Never.
No one can take your
experience
away.
Even after I've lived.
Absolutely. And you continue to utilize them. So I think that that's very, very key. And I mean it when I say have that key performance indicators for your own life. We do that for everything else, but let's have that conversation. It's a difficult conversation. It's a very, very difficult conversation, because to your point, you also have to acknowledge where you failed and ask yourself. Sometimes it's not even failure. It's just that it exceeds for what it is.
Yeah.
The project was just not a success.
Yeah.
It's not because you failed.
Yeah.
It was just not a success. And from there, it's a conversation on whether you reevaluate. Do I go back or I'm now ready to do something else?
Yeah.
And the strategy then becomes different.
Oh, man.
And that's what you do on a daily basis. That's what we do. And I repeat that we do it for everybody else, but we find it so difficult to do it for ourselves.
Oh, I love the journey you shared with us of how you started at a call center and now being the head of transformation. Come on. Come on, here are your flowers while you can still
and look at that, right? Because I never studied human capital. I've never studied human capital. Not at all. But when I say that you show up in your workplace, you know that you've got an interest in whatever. I knew that I had an interest in human capital because I love people. And it also comes, Bumi, from also the church work that one does. Don't take that lightly as well. I think our church in particular equips us with so many skills. Presentation, it equips us with showing up. And that's another thing that I credit our church with, that it has equipped us with showing up. Do summer school presentations. You do. There's so much that you do. You're always showing up. And it made me just passionate about people, passionate, as you're saying, about the development of others. And when there was help that was required during my consulting days, I would definitely put my hand up. I was aware that it meant that work may not necessarily be done during the day, but I would have to sacrifice after hours in order to be able to do that work. Without complaining, I'm not being paid for it, but it's something that I love. And I'm learning through that process.
You know, Shonina, I was in corporate for about 6 years. And I when I look back now, I realize there are so many mistakes that I made. There's so many things that I could have done right. And if given the opportunity, I would do them right now, right? And I'm led to believe that there's a silent curriculum in every corporate space, things that we're not taught, but we get punished for not knowing, right? And not that the intention is to punish us, but we then don't get the things we wish to get because we don't even know what we need to do. And so with your journey and knowing what you know and being at the top now, what's something you wish someone had told you sooner about how this world really works?
That it's okay to make mistakes. Boom. And forgive yourself. So here's the thing. And I'm seeing that quite a lot in the environment that we find ourselves in. We work from home, right? Predominantly. It can be a very lonely place. So you have people that join the organization and they're so scared of even asking that I'm not sure how to do this. You want to figure it out on your own. Please, these corporate spaces have been there for ages. And it's okay for you to try, make mistakes, and also ask.
And you I think the expectation think is that you don't know.
Coming to Mpumi and asking, it makes me stupid. No. I've also just maintained in my life that when I come to you and I ask for something, it's either you're going to say yes or you're going to say no.
Yeah.
But when you say no, it gives me the opportunity to ask again, why are you saying no? And that is my learning curve again there. So it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And don't beat yourself up on it. Own up your mistakes as well. And let it not be a repetition of the very same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So from my mistakes, make sure that we learn.
Ah, I love that. And when you're new, the expectation is that you don't know anything. So you're actually disadvantaging yourself by trying to pretend that you know things you don't know.
But you said something quite profound as well, is that that's how when we get into these corporate spaces, you're trying to do everything and anything in order just to save yourself in that space. But you can't do that when you don't know. You can't do that when you don't know. So allow yourself to be vulnerable. Allow yourself to be a sponge and observe. And give yourself that grace of learning. And I say this, Bumi, again, let's not get into these spaces with a spirit of fear. Because when we are fearful, that's where we mess up.
And we really mess up when we're scared.
We do.
Hey?
Yeah. We do. I mean, think about it. With any other, and I try to let's see these things as a relationship, like any other relationship. If I'm going to have a relationship with you and I'm fearful, what's going to happen?
I'm going to mess it up. I mean? Yeah.
But when I come authentically, showing that, Mpumi, this is a real conversation. Yeah. I mean, we're sisters, and I'm being as real as I can. Yeah. I'm not claiming perfection. But I'm saying, I'm acknowledging that this is a journey that requires me to self-regulate, that requires me to speak kindly to myself, that also acknowledges that I am learning, and allow myself to learn.
I'm so glad you brought it down to a simplified relationship level, right? Because the truth is, when you get into a relationship, the idea is, yes, you've been in a relationship before, but never with me. So I'm going to show you how to be in a relationship with me. And I'm also learning to be in a relationship with you. And I think if we approach our careers that way, or the spaces we go into, we will be so much better.
Yeah. And we can learn together, right?
Yeah.
So and even when you point out where I'm going wrong, I'm not going to be defensive.
Oh yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes.
There's no need for me to be defensive. There's no need for me to be defensive.
What I did notice though is that when I was in corporate, Black women are often over mentored and under sponsored. And I'd love for you to break down the difference between mentorship and sponsorship, and how someone can intentionally secure both in the space that they are in.
Okay, so I'm gonna take us back again to being consistent, right? Again, let's make it simple, and I'm gonna start with a sponsorship, because at the end of the day, this now someone on the C-suite level, and you want somebody that is going to speak positively of you in the spaces that you're not.
Yeah,
but how do I speak highly of you when you're not consistent and you're not showing up in your work? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to be very deliberate at the end of the day. And in many a times, the person who will be able to speak highly of you would be your mentor. So in mentorship programs, I find as a mentee and you are the mentor, I then expect you to feed me of information, and I'm not thinking around the things that I want. And I say, what is your plan?
What is your plan?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you here we go. A simple example again. When you want to lose weight, you come up with a meal plan. And remember, you've then appointed a coach. A coach will then say, okay, fine. These are calories that you need to eat. This is what you need to eat as well.
Yeah.
So you prepare, and that is a plan. So by the time you meet with your coach, you do exercises, because we all know that it is not just about the exercise, but it's about what you eat in the kitchen. So by the time you then meet with your coach, you can see progress because you are reviewing the plan that you have put together through the guidance of your coach. Through the guidance of your coach, because you utilize what you have in the kitchen. So the very same thing happens when I must have a plan. I must be clear to then say, this is what I want to achieve. I might not necessarily know how I'm going to do it. And that's why me and you are going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to share my experiences. My experiences do not define your path. You still have to define it.
Yeah.
And by showing up again consistently, as I said.
And I'm excellently using the word, too, right?
Can you hear? So by you being consistent as well, it's easier than for your mentor to speak about you in those spaces.
Yeah.
And you get the sponsorship as well.
Yeah.
And you find grace in that.
Sorry. I think the consistency too needs to be accompanied by excellent, because you also can't be consistently doing shoddy work.
No, absolutely. I think that's the thing. And when you it must be followed with excellence.
Yeah.
So you must be, in essence, we're saying be consistent in being excellent. Whatever your hand finds, do it
with all your heart.
And that's it.
That absolute again. Now, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not, I know people are just like, no, just do your work and run away from this one. We cannot run away from it. And I'd love for us to get tactical at this point, right? How do we navigate the politics without losing ourselves in performance? And all I really want to know is, Hloni, how do we play the game without becoming the game?
And that's exactly it. It's a game. Let's lend it the tools.
Teach
right?
us.
Let us also lend the tools. I usually say when I'm also know why you are where you are. Again, it's to your point. It's tactical strategy, and sometimes maybe we use the word strategy quite a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a tactical plan.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying I want to lose weight? Why am I saying that? Why do I? Because it gives you confidence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of benefits to that. So understand why you want to be there.
Mm.
And understand the impact that you want to shape in the environment that you're in. I'll give you a sense.
Yeah.
So to your point, head of transformation. There is so much beauty in that role. It's not just from a legislative point of view, but it's about social impact, which is also something that I'm passionate about. Yeah. We speak about diversity and inclusion forum. So it's given me the space to do the things that I love.
Yeah.
And I have clout, right? Yeah. It gives me the clout that is necessary.
Yeah.
And I've chosen my own path and I'm sticking to it. Mm. So choose your own path and stick to it.
You know, while you're there, I think one can hear this and feel like who they are and what they want out of the space may not necessarily match with what the space requires, right? And so I think for a lot of people, the idea of corporate success and purpose is mutually exclusive. It's either one or the other, right? And so based on what you're saying, I want to know, can the boardroom be a place of purpose? Can the corporate space accommodate the purpose of individuals?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, if you know, Mpumi, right now, you know exactly what is it that you want to achieve.
100%.
See your influence as well in that space.
Yeah. Is it easy though, Hloni?
No, I'm not saying it's easy.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's easy.
Mm.
Remember, on a daily basis, you are refining, right?
Yeah.
You're refining. And you've said it as well. It's not everyone that will like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But and again, you're clear on what you are wanting to achieve.
Mm.
And I also, in these spaces, networks are important.
Yeah, so and when important. I think about
it, it's advocate. Networks are advocate for the work that you do. So let's simplify the terms that we utilize.
Mm.
I now have, when I say that I have Bumi in my corner, when Bumi speaks about me, I know that it is from a good place and you understand the intention. Am I perfect? No.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, so when you understand that and you know your influence, that's what you're doing. Mm. And you stay true to your path. Stay true to your path. Be consistent and work with excellence.
Mm.
And these spaces become easier to navigate. I think the challenge... and Bumi as well, is all of us in many times is we want to be CEOs.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Lapo, we are 5 million in the company and there's one CEO seat.
You know what I mean? and that's the thing is that, and board roles are very broad.
Yeah.
There are so many organizations that require your skill.
Yeah.
So that's what influence is about.
Yeah.
That's what influence is about. At the end of the day, purpose is about you being of influence and of being of impact. Mm.
You know, the reason I asked you whether it's easy or not, and I'm going to be very vulnerable with you in this moment, is that I had gotten to a place where I was very clear of the kind of contribution I want to make in the organization I was in, right? And yeah. I was so intentional the year before, the entire year before I left, I had done the work in the space that I believe I will shine in, so that when we have the conversation, it's not, I promise I can prove myself. I had already done that. My 360 reviews were saying, gee whiz, this girl.
This girl, but she's the girl you think she is.
100%. One lady, I was hosting, what was I doing? It was either a Banking on Women event or the town hall for our annual results, right? And so one lady asks her boss, oh, which broadcasting place is she from? And the boss is like, Gaumbu me. I wasn't for me. She's from here. And, you know, every time I stepped in the role that I really believed that God has called me to, I was amazing at it. But then I have a conversation with my manager and I'm like, I've proven to you, I've taken 12 months to do this job and to do that other job. It should be easy to at least get a secondment. Mm-hmm. And the conversation was, you did incredibly well there, but not as great here. And so because you weren't as great here, you're gonna have to stick here, to stick around here. And I'm just like, no. No.
I'm gonna do that.
That is the point that was going to be proven. Not that I was intentionally slacking, but the point that I was going to prove was exactly that. You've hired me for my competence, but my passion and my legit skill is elsewhere. It's not that I hate it here. I'm just amazing elsewhere. And it was such a difficult thing for me to move. I think the mobility and the flexibility wasn't so great there. And I walked away. And people say to me, Mpumi, you are so proud, you are so brave, rather, to have walked away. And I say to them, actually, the bravest thing for me to do was to fight for what I believe. And I didn't do that. Walking away was the easiest thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. It did feel like I was choosing myself in the moment, because I mean, I had been running my organization, but the bravest thing to do was to fight for what I believe enough to see it. And I love that she said it is not easy, because it's confirming exactly that. And nothing that's worth it is going to come easy, especially not in spaces that have got a legacy for running things a certain way, and you want to come and flip the table and do things differently. It's not an easy journey.
You've chosen your what? Your path.
Yeah.
Can you see? You chose your path. Yeah. And it was not going to be defined by somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's, it brings us to what I said, that there are two answers in life. There's a yes and there's a no.
Ooh.
That's it.
It's not complicated.
No, it's not. We are the ones that actually complicated. There are two answers. It's either a yes or a no.
Yeah.
And when somebody says yes to you, then that's fine. But when somebody says no to you, look at what culminated out of that. Bumi's purpose was affirmed, and with confidence, without necessarily knowing what tomorrow holds.
Yep.
But you are here today.
Yeah.
And that's what purpose looks like.
Oof. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, now, you, that's what purpose looks like.
Yeah, you're known for getting things done, Shoni. You are the goat. You say on your LinkedIn, you are the go-to person.
Yeah.
But I want to know, how did you make sure that your name moved with your work? What are the practical ways to build visibility and the influence you spoke about, especially when you're not in the room?
I'm sounding like a stuck record. Put your hand up. I think I've always said that. Put your hand up, number one. Like you did as well. You put your hand up, right? And you did you did not mind doing the work. Yeah. And you did the work.
Yeah.
With so much diligence. You executed very, very well. Mm. You could look back and say that the past 12 months I've actually done that.
Yep.
That is one. And to your point, be a people's person. Mm. I'm not talking about being a people's pleaser. Mm. Be a people's person. People must know that when I speak to Mbumi, I can be as vulnerable, and things, I'm going to get the support that I need. Even if I'm not able to make things right for you, but you will know that I made the effort and I'm authentic enough to come back to you to say, this is what I've actually done, because it builds a trust.
Mm. Yeah.
Again, know what is it that you are thriving for.
Mm.
Stop this thing of trying to navigate 75 paths at once. Choose.
None of them will work out.
And choose what is important to you. Yeah. And again, work on that.
Yeah.
It's be knowledgeable. Mm. Ask, as we said, find somebody that could mentor you on that.
Yeah.
You know, and continue to, when you are needed, make sure that you definitely show up as well. And to thine self be true.
To thine self be true.
To thine self be true.
Aish. Yeah, a lot of women often are disgruntled and are bitter at being led by women because they, and this is what they say, right? Sisterhood in corporate is a fantasy. There's a thing that you think that they will pull you up, but instead you are met with resistance. And I'm so happy that I'm speaking to a black woman at the top right now, because I want you to highlight and maybe give some depth and insight into what it's really like being a woman at the top in these corporate structures that from its inception were never designed with us in mind. What really goes on, and what can a black woman getting into corporate realistically expect and understand in that space?
I think you've nailed it. You've actually said it quite well. It's spaces that we're not expected to be in, but we're there.
Yeah.
I get it?
Yeah.
It's spaces that we're not expected to be there, but we are there. So how does sisterhood look like in corporate? It calls for us being genuine. Boom. Mm. You can't just love me because I'm shown.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you can get something
to,
from you.
If you love me, and that's why I'm using simple examples. Our relationship, Boomy, because we are friends,
yeah,
you're going to tell me when I am now fumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're doing it for my own good. Mm. And by so saying, you are then saying, please don't forget. It's just a reminder to say, don't forget, Loni, that in these spaces, it's just me and you, you know. And unfortunately, there are other people that are looking up to us. Mm. There's so many people that actually the spotlight is on us.
It is on us.
The spotlight is on us. Therefore, let us do the necessary in order to make sure that we do not, at the end of the day, we don't put shame, you know, to those that are looking up to us. Mm. So what I find it become, or where the challenge is there's always an expectation now that just because me and Bumi are friends, it is a given that I'm going to get this role.
Mm.
It can't be a given. When you've worked, where now you've worked very, very hard, you've worked very, very hard. So what we should actually be doing is we should be sharing. We should actually be having those conversations like you're saying. Let's have conversations that drive excellence.
Yeah.
Let's have conversations around when burnout comes, what is it that we're supposed to, let's equip each other with skills that ensure that we are consistent in our craft and all of us continue to show up.
All of us.
And also accept that, to your point, opportunities, we don't have a lot of opportunities.
No.
But how do we then spread ourselves with what is available?
Mm.
There can only be one Bumi who's going to be a CEO. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like I'm saying, there are other areas, spaces of influence where Shoni can be, where, you know, Bongi can be.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, if you look at the narrative of what we are driving, we're driving a narrative of empowerment, and a narrative of change. And it's really, it could be one space at a time, but you actually feel the change that we're driving.
Mm. That is so powerful.
So let's not seek to be Mbomi. My point is, don't try to be somebody else.
Yeah.
To thine self be true.
Yep.
Seek the skills that are necessary. Play to your own strength as well. Mm. And don't try to be Mbomi.
Mm. And here's the truth, right? People often believe corporate life is stable and secure. And to some degree, it is stable. I don't know about secure, because people get retrenched. Some get overlooked. And in some, I've heard horrific stories of people being pushed out. So I want to hear from you, in your view, what is true security in a corporate career? Where should we actually be anchoring ourselves?
I'm going to say, it's financial liberation.
Sure.
So exactly what you spoke about, your days of working in a bank. Yeah. How do you make money work for you?
Yeah.
So also, Mbumi, we say live within your means.
Yeah, bo.
Live within your means.
Yeah, bo.
So as long, and we say this, you've got a roof over your head. You know that there's money being saved. You're not living for people, but you're living, you are going to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you're not stressed, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing that, when you have hunger issues, you can't think.
Oh, for sure. And the desperation pushes you to do the most horrific things.
Correct. But when you know that stomach issues are sorted, it gives you the space to be creative as well.
Yeah.
So I'd say it really is that seeking and striving for financial freedom.
Yeah.
Because then you know, even when you are let go, you're not stressed about those things, but you are creative enough to know the skills that you have and how best you, because you've networked, you know exactly where to go and what conversations to have with confidence, knowing what you bring to the table.
You're talking about networking for the second time now. And I think it's standing out for me because in the past, and I don't know if I've recovered or if I've gotten better, networking has been such a challenge for me. Please school us. What is the best approach to networking? And what is it really? Because I don't want us to see networking as what can that person do for me? And you only start networking up because you're trying to get things from people. But what is true networking and how does it look when it's done correctly?
It's a relationship.
Oof.
Again, that's it. That's what a networking. Networking is a relationship. And sure. Thank you very much for demystifying that myth of us thinking by me networking, that means I'm going to get something out of Mbumi.
Yeah.
I can't be that lech, you know, that just continues to blood suck. I can't be doing that. But let me know what I bring to the table as well. As I said, at the end of the day, through these networkings, when opportunities come, it's easy for someone to say, oh my goodness, you're looking for what for a broadcaster. I know this amazing, articulate, intelligent woman. Boom.
Are you talking about me?
You know what I mean?
Me?
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This trailblazer. So networking is really about that. It's really about that. So it's relationships.
Relationships
where you know what you're bringing to the table. And you're not just there, as I said, to be bloodsucker.
Yeah. Yo, I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about networking like that. It's a relationship. Okay.
It is.
And you nurture relationships. You give to relationships. They take time to form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, you are working on yourself. If there's, and that's where we also speak about role models, right? So when you have, and that's another thing, most of the time, Tony, who's your role model? My response will be my mother.
Always.
I guess this step, all of us say that, right? But we also need to start thinking, if I say Michelle Obama, I must know what is it, what are the character traits that I love about her? And what is it that I'm willing to emulate from her? I can't just say I like Mbumi, but not want to emulate the excellence that I see in her.
What is the role that she is modeling?
Absolutely. What is the role that she's modeling?
I want to go on and on and on with you. I've found a mentor in you. And this call is coming to an end, but I'm networking with you now. But before we walk away from this, I really want you to share a message with the black woman right now who knows she's meant for more, but she feels invisible, she's unsure, and she's tired of trying. What would you say to her?
What I'm going to say to black women is the foundation of it all is knowing who created you. Believe who he says you are. I don't know how many leaders in Mbumi that I speak to that tell me that their Bible is literally their guide. Also believe that you're not here just for mediocrity. You're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
and on a daily basis, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you're called for. And work on it.
Yeah.
It might take 1,000 days for clarity to come, but clarity will definitely come.
When the question is asked, the answer comes.
They're correct. It so sure ask does. The question.
Yeah.
And let's spend time with ourselves. Work on our identity.
Yeah.
So that we don't fall for everything that comes our way.
Oh.
And continue to seek knowledge.
Yeah.
For God says, wisdom I give very, very freely, man. So continue to seek knowledge. It's through reading. Let's go for these conferences. Let's build relationships. Let's build relationships and be patient with ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, Shoni. Time is my enemy today.
Okay.
It's really my enemy today. But I just want to say to everyone who's listening, if you didn't know how to take up space before tonight, I think now you do. Shoni just handed us the blueprints, right? Not just about how to survive in the system, but really reshaping the system in our image. The word that came out mostly is to thine own self. Be true.
Amen.
From the boardroom to the back rooms, Shoni, you reminded us that strategy is not a betrayal of self.
Yeah.
And ambition is not arrogance. Showing up knowing what you want is not a sign of you being conceited or arrogant or thinking too highly of yourself. And I love
you
that.
Yourself?
I love that you emphasize, Uguti, we're not here to beg for seats. We're here to build these tables, right? And we need to bring our full selves and bless the rooms while we are at it. Bless the rooms, not be a burden in the rooms, but really be. When you're not there, people must be like, "Guy, man, Konintesho die. Mbum is not here today," you know? So to every black woman who's listening, you don't need to ask for permission. You need to just align yourself with what is true to you and what God says about you. You don't need to prove that you belong. You already do. Your job now, after this conversation, after being empowered by Shoni, is to stop shrinking, to start showing up, and to let your brilliance be the thing that speaks when you don't have to.
And that's it.
Shoni, you've just uncoded black, brilliant, and boardroom
and
bound.
Yeah, we've done it.
And if you've taught us anything today, it's that we are not just meant for the table. We are really meant to run the room. Says God.
And that's it.
Says God. They weren't thinking about us before, but we're here now.
Yeah.
And our mandate is to just show up, to take up space, and to stay uncoded. We belong.
We definitely belong. Yeah. And let's just stop showing up and belittling ourselves, right?
Hey.
Let's walk tall. Let's walk tall.
Lalela, you're in my pocket now. I hope it's not too stuffy in there.
Well, it's okay. Yeah, it's fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming. This was so brilliant. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you believe people need to know before we close out?
I think you've really summarized it very well.
Yeah.
You've summarized it very well. And I also just want to say that it's not just about corporate spaces. Just show up. Own your space. Define your own space.
Yeah.
Define your space.
Yeah.
Because you are definitely great and you are phenomenal.
You are phenomenal. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks very much, my darling.
Night, Shoni.
All right, then. Bye, Mpumi. All right, then. Bye.
Bye. That is it. Guys, yes, I miss you on Fridays. Yes, I really miss you on Fridays. And I think that's why I try to make the most of the 4 days, because I know Friday's coming. It's like every Friday is that Friday when Jesus was crucified. I'm just like, oh no. But I know that Monday is coming, and Monday is certainly coming for us. And I pray, I hope that the Monday to come will find you and I still alive to share this knowledge with each other and to help each other grow. I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.